Well, glory to God. He's good. Amen. All the time. Amen. Well, I want to talk tonight about God's desire to prosper you. And I want to talk a little bit about me. I don't like talking about myself. I'm perfectly content getting up talking and never introducing myself, and I'm okay with that. So it's difficult to talk about me, but Pastor Mark brought it up the other day in terms of some of my background, and I really got out and made a lot of dumb mistakes. I can say dumb because I was there, and really ended up so far in debt. You know, you go through one divorce, you're in bad shape. Two divorces, you're in really bad shape. And so I was really in a point in life where I had no idea how this was even possible to pay that much money off. And so hopelessness was a constant companion. And so it was always tough to deal with. I know what it's like to have bill collectors calling you. I know what it's like to get paid and write checks out and still never satisfy everybody and always make somebody mad. You know, and really it made getting paid just a real pain because I always had to decide because I never really ended up with any of it. I know what it's like to go to the grocery store on Saturday morning and visit the various stands that set up free food. And I'd have fish for breakfast and things like that. And I know what it's like to have a car. It was white, but it turned black over time because it leaked oil all the time. And so I'd get my nice suit on and go to my job in downtown Dallas, and I'd go across Fort Worth and Dallas and just smoke up the whole area. And then I carried a case of oil in my car. And just in case, well, I always had it, not just in case. Every time I had to go anywhere, I had to put a quart of oil in it to get there. So, during that time, I heard somebody speak about prosperity. And I had never heard of that. I'd never heard of tithing. I'd never heard of giving. I mean, my idea of giving was $5, and sacrificial giving was $10. And so, you know, that's about all the level of knowledge I had about the deal, and I had no expectation of ever getting anything back. It was just contribution. And so when somebody talked about it, I thought, you know, I really want that to be true. And I thought, well, I need to check this out. So I started looking at it, and I got the tape and started listening to it again and again, and I'd stop it and look up the scriptures and try to figure out where they were talking about and what it was. And I'd read the chapter and see what they were talking about. And you know, over time, as things started to build up, you know, I developed a course and actually taught the course when I was as poor as could be and on how to prosper. And I'm going to teach that course tonight because I live that course. And today, I'm debt-free and have investment accounts now that are just amazing me. Things I'm seeing God do in my life and seeing things in wave after wave after wave, you know, and I'm sitting there going, there's no way I did this. There's no way I'm not too smart. I already showed how smart I was doing some of the things I did, you know, and he desires to prosper. Now, I'm going to go through a number of scriptures tonight. I'm going to talk about it. Eventually, whenever I speak again, I'm going to talk about how to put things together, how to attack debt, how to get out of debt, we're going to do a lot of how-tos. But tonight, we're going to string together what is the covenant all about of prosperity and put it out there and talk about it. So he desires that we prosper in all things and be in health, just as our soul prospers. Now, if you turn into Genesis chapter 12, verses 2, there's a person named Abraham. And Abraham is a special person in the Bible that goes all the way through the New Testament. He's quoted very times. Jesus talked a lot about him. And so we're going to talk about him here. And so I'm starting in verse 2. This is God talking to him. And he says, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those that bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. And you will all the families and the kindred of the earth be blessed. Boy, that is just a wide open blessing. There is absolutely no limits there whatsoever. That he is telling Abraham that you are blessed and you are going to be a blessing. In fact, all the nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed through you. Whoa. That's the kind of God that he is. Now, you know, you're probably wondering, now, what does this have to do with us? Well, we're going to flip over to the New Testament and pick up in Galatians chapter 3. And starting in verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, when he's talking about Gentiles, that was a word used at that time for those people that were non-Jewish. Any non-Jewish people in here? All right, got some. Okay, that's what they would call us back then, as Gentiles. So when he's talking about that, that's what they're talking about here. And he says that Jesus went to the cross and became a curse for us. And one of the reasons that he did that was that the blessings upon Abraham would come upon us. All right, we'll stir it up here. See, he hung there on the cross and took upon himself all of the curse that was there. If you'll look in Deuteronomy 28 sometime and read through there, there's a section on blessings and there's a big section on curses. And in the big section on curses, there's a lot of financial curses. Meaning then you'll sow and get nothing. You'll have money and all of a sudden it's gone. Anybody ever have that? You know? And so it's in there. And see, he took upon himself the curse so that the blessing, so everything that Abraham is blessed with, we have access to. It's not just financial, it's everything, as we'll get into this, but we're going to focus on the financial piece. So the blessings that were upon him, so whatever happened to him is for us. Now, also I'm going to go into 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Another translation says abundantly supplied, so that you might become abundantly supplied. Where did he become poor? He became poor on the cross. He was hanging there with nothing. Everything stripped away. Even the presence of God finally. And so he was there taking upon himself all of the sin of past, present, and future so that we could live under that blessing, so that we would have the ability to prosper in him. Amen? Now, how was Abraham blessed? Let's look at Genesis 13, verse 2. And again, we'll focus on riches here. It says in chapter 13, verse 2 in the Amplified, now Abraham, the Amplified says, was extremely rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. The New King James Version says very rich, and the Young's translation says exceedingly wealthy. Now, there's rich and there's exceedingly rich. Okay? Rich is being able to go to New York on a nice shopping trip for a weekend and, you know, pay for it and do okay and fly back. Extremely rich is like an Arab sheik who puts his harem on the plane and flies them to London, and that they stay the week, all expenses paid, and literally shop the town dry. And then they get on their plane and they fly back. See, that's extremely rich. Okay? Rich is having one vacation home. Extremely rich is having one for every month. See, it says here that Abraham was extremely rich, meaning he was set apart way above everybody else. He was prospering so much that you know, everybody had to take notice of that. Extremely rich. Isn't that what it says? Another translation says very wealthy. I don't know how you spell that, but that's what that is. And it says that he was extremely rich in livestock and silver and in gold. Now, Genesis chapter 24, verse 35, Abraham's servant is talking, and he says, "The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys." Great is a term that you use for somebody that's exponentially out there on every area of their life. They're just exceptional in every area. And so he's saying he has become great. He says the Lord has blessed him. Glory to God. Let's go to Genesis 24, verse 1. "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Hallelujah. The NIV says in every way. In all things. How many ways can you be blessed? How many ways can you be blessed? To where you would say, man, God has blessed me in every way. I can't think of anything else He can do. So that's the position that Abraham was with God and still is, by the way. He's happy in heaven. But see, the covenant says that Jesus became a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham would come upon us through the anointed Jesus, so that by faith we would receive the promise of the Spirit. So He took upon Himself that curse so that we could live free, so that we could excel in every area. See, He's given us the Spirit to excel. He's given us the capability to excel and to exceed, to be exceptional. Now, let's go. What we want to do now is check out. Abraham had a son at 100 years old. And so this is in Genesis 25:5, and he says, "And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, who was his son or his seed." Now, if Abraham was extremely rich and he gave all that he had to his son Isaac, what did that make Isaac? Well, that's a good way to start, isn't it? That's what you call starting out on the bottom, being extremely rich, you know, running the whole place. And so there was a transfer there that happened at that time that we're going to connect up with, too, because remember, God's promise was to Abraham and to his seed that they would be blessed. And so we're interested in, when the Bible talks about seed, a lot of times it's talking about his descendants. And so we need to connect with that and understand what just happened to there. Now, in Genesis 26, verse 12, it says, "Then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted. And the Lord favored him with blessings. The man became rich and he was wealthy, continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him." So we see here that he picked up where Abraham left off, and he continued to increase so much. And he continued to just kind of take over area and territory, you know, because if you have that many cattle, you need more land. And you just kind of keep taking over and taking over and taking over. And before that, he said that the Philistines, the other people living there, were just envying him. They were like, how is this guy doing this? You know, it's amazing to me that God doesn't seem to have a problem with him increasing, since he was blessing him, because he said the Lord favored him and blessed him. Wow, you mean can God do that? Is that okay with him? Or does he just like you to be poor? No, I mean, he's very much into increasing his people on every level. Because why? Because that looks good for him. And so he desires that we prosper. He desires that we increase in every way. That he desires, and he doesn't even really mind if we become rich as long as we give him all the credit for doing it. And just listen to him. Now, let's go to back into the New Testament in Galatians 3, verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, anybody here belong to Christ? Let's put both hands up on that one. Just praise him for that. Glory to God. It's just great to be saved. You know that. So, if you belong to Christ, then you are in the line or descendancy of Abraham. Man, it's just like you were just born in there, you know? Just like Abraham's your daddy. And he says that if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Glory to God. See, he desires to excel you, to accelerate things, to cause you. He likes making us smart. It's amazing. And he likes putting us in positions to where he can show off how good he is. So here we are. We have this guy that lived back there that God blessed him and he became wealthy and his descendant became wealthier. And now here we are in that family. It's great to be saved. You know, that is such a blessing. I mean, Jesus did it all. He paid the whole price. He took all of that poverty out of the way. He broke the curse of that. Glory to God. And then put us right in line with some of the richest people that ever lived. You know, I would like to look back in my family history and find somebody that's rich. I looked and there wasn't anybody, okay? But it would be nice to find somebody, you know? Wouldn't you? One, if they were still alive, I'd go look them up. But beyond that, you know? But, man, by birthright, the fact that when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, like all of a sudden, man, we're right there. Right in the line of inheritance. Glory to God. See, there's no limits on this thing. There's nothing holding us back. What's holding us back is right here. We're just not grabbing on to what God just really did. And so, does he care about you financially? Yes. Would he love to do something about it? Yes. He would love to do way beyond what you're able to even think or ask. But what's happening a lot of times it was like me. I had to just bang the scriptures and listen to tapes and bang the scriptures some more. And you know, I went and bought concordances and got them out. And just man, you know, I said, I got to do something with this thinking because I keep thinking so negative all the time. And so what Pastor Mark talked about the last few Sundays about was changing the way you think. It's very real. Because if I'm sitting there thinking that it's over, there's no way out. It doesn't matter what somebody says or does. So, you know, changing how you think and how you see things is a big, big part of it. So here we are. We're in a position to where we are an heir. What do heirs do? They inherit. Glory to God. Yeah, that's a hard job, isn't it? They inherit. We're in a place of inheritance. Tell your face you're in a place of inheritance, you know, because he has put you into a special place, see, because he loves you so much. He wants to bless you so much. He wants to open up things so much. He wants to cause things to happen, but our thinking gets in the way. our mouth gets in the way. Our ears get in the way. You know, been there. Still have to beat myself up and keep myself listening to the Word all the time to stay real positive. Because if you listen to the news, it'll get you down real quick. Now, there was something about Abraham that he had a close relationship with God. Really had a very close relationship with God. In fact, in James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." My, my, my. How would you like God to call you His friend? Do you know there's a story in the Old Testament in where God was gone in His way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and He said, "I can't do this without first speaking with Abraham." Wow. Wouldn't you like God to say, I need to go talk to them about that because I'm about to do something here, so I want to consult with them. And then Abraham negotiated his way down into the number of people, But God called him His friend. Meaning they were very tight. Well, we're His child. We're His heir. We're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We are His children. And He wants to call us His friend. That means He wants to be able to confide in us, talk to us, explain things, help guide us, steer us in right decisions, listen to our complaining. I would tell it, my prayer when I was going through a hard time was, "God, I need money, I need help now." That was what it was. And so it was a short conversation, but it's broadened out now since then, But you got to be able to talk with Him and hear what He has to say. So He had a close relationship. Do you know that there are a number of scriptures in the Bible where there were kings that were cited in the Old Testament that said that as long as they sought the Lord, they prospered? Isn't that amazing? As long as their heart was seeking after the Lord, they increased. You would think if God loved poverty, the opposite would be true. But no, everybody that got close to God in the Bible increased. That's interesting. And so, as long as they sought the Lord, well, Abraham was the same way. As long as he stayed in right relationship with God, he just increased and increased and increased. And God never said stop. He never told Isaac to stop. He never told anybody to stop. He never said, "That's enough, 10 houses is enough, hey, 100,000 cattle is enough, okay, 50 acres is enough." He never says anything like that. No, if you're doing it for Him and He's blessing you, He doesn't have a problem with it. Just don't let it go to your head that I'm doing this and that all these. Just give Him the glory for it all. In Romans 4, verse 16, it says, "Therefore it is of faith that we might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to" who? All the seed. All the seed. Any seed in here? Glory to God. So that the promise might be sure. What is a sure promise? Done deal. Done deal. It's done. God thinks it's done. He's waiting for us to get into it. And so it is sure to all the seed, not only to those that are of the law, but also to those that are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. When the Bible calls somebody our father, that's somebody that we need to imitate and learn from and learn how they did things. See, the Bible calls him the father of faith. And so when we want to know how to walk by faith, we look at the Lord and we look at Him and try to understand, what did He do? How did He do that? How did that work? See, that's where God wants us always inquiring, because that's what looking at the kingdom of God is about, is trying to understand how things operate, how it all comes together. See, Abraham tapped into something that when he used his faith, God declared him to be in right standing with Him. That means that he treated him like he had never sinned. Boy, isn't that amazing? See, God looks at us the same way, by the way. He treats us like we've never sinned. You know, so we're right there in there with Him like that. In that same position that the Bible says that we're in right standing with Him. And so we see how Abraham was blessed being right in right standing with Him. And we see that we are now related to Him, that we are His descendant, we are His heir, and we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And so we are in a very sweet position. Wow. With a God whose nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing impossible. So, he was extremely rich. Isaac was way beyond. I don't know what the level of beyond extremely rich is. Extravagant rich? I'm not sure what that is. You know? But he was so much, man, that they actually ran him off. If you read on to that, the Philistines told him to move because they were just afraid of him, because he just kept expanding and expanding and expanding. And then after he left, they figured out that the blessing of the Lord went with him. And they didn't really know that much about it, but they knew that all of a sudden they started doing bad. And so they invited him back, you know, and treated him okay. So, you know, that's okay. It's all right for people to envy you by the way that God's treating you. See, God's, you know, Bible talks about making people jealous, making the Jews jealous, things like that. And so this is just part of that. That you're just so blessed that they look at you and they go, what is the deal? Why has everything always worked for them? Why are they so happy? Now, real freedom, including financial freedom, really comes from how solid our relationship is with the Lord. I mean, we can do all kinds of stuff. We can have all kinds of programs. We can do all kinds of courses and things like that. But if our relationship is not solid with the Lord, we're really just kind of spinning our wheels, just trying to make things look good. So it always has to be a goal to get closer to God. Not just for what He's going to give you, but He can't help but bless you when you get close to Him. That's the way He is. Because He loves you and He just wants to see you do good. And so we always want to always focus on that relationship. And so Abraham was very focused on that relationship. And because of that, he prospered and increased. John 15, verse 7, Jesus said this, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. So, living in Him and abiding in Him, and that we show forth much fruit, it says that the Father is honored, He loves it, and because He's honored, we can ask whatever we want, and we get it. I like that. I like knowing that when I ask for something, I'm going to get it. Anybody else like that? I don't like to wonder about things. I'd rather just tell me yes or no and get it done, you know, and go on. But, you know, that's the relationship that He's saying that He wants us to have with Him, is that we're so united with Him, that we're so in Him, that we just, you know, our requests are really just part of Him. And He shows us what is important and what is not, and what to focus on and what things to not focus on. And so He helps guide us and direct us in such a way that when we ask something, It's done. Doesn't the Bible say that all the promises of God are yes and amen? Man, all of them. Just all of them. A lot of them, you know? And so, His desire is that we just get so tight with Him that what we do just looks like Him. And see, that way, you know, whenever we ask something, it's His will that we're asking about. It's just part of it. And so it's just done like that. See, that's how you bear fruit. Bearing fruit means that you're increasing and you're multiplying in everything that you do. You cannot help. When the Bible says that whatever your hands find to do will prosper, you can't help it because God is blessing you and He'll cause what you do to really increase way beyond what you ever thought. And so, when He's talking about that, that's a big part of it. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about prosperity, and we're going to get into that over the course of time, but I'm going to leave with one particular thing here. I want to turn to Luke chapter 7 and in verse 21. And He says, "And that very hour He cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind He gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" Now, it's amazing on that. I would have loved to have seen all that going on. You know, because what a sight that would have been to see the dead raised, the blind seeing, you know, all these miracles just going on and going on and going on. And you notice that everything that is mentioned in there is a physical manifestation. And in that He is talking about people that are physically blind that are healed. He's not talking about spiritual blindness. He's talking about physical lameness. Not spiritual lameness. He's taught everything that He's going down. See, Jesus was very pointed and very topical about what He talked about. He didn't wander off from subject to subject and just decide to just talk someday. He was very pointed about what He said. And so He's naming off physical symptoms that are being healed and cured. And He ends up with this, that He says, "And the gospel is preached to the poor." Now, He didn't switch subjects here until He's talking about spiritually poor. No, He was talking about physically poor. See, because the gospel is the good news. That's what the word means. It's the good news. And so Jesus was preaching to them the good news to the poor. Now, what's good news to the poor? Hey, you get to be poor forever? I mean, that would have ended my life if I would have heard that. I mean, I was like, golly, I needed that. You know, I was already there. No. See, He was teaching them things about the kingdom, about seeds being sown in 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold on a good heart. He was talking about sowing seed in the ground and then it springs up even though they don't know how. See, He was talking about these things, about how to multiply, how to increase, how to focus on spiritual things, that to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So He was talking about these things in reference to the kingdom, and He was preaching the good news to the poor that things can change. That herein is the change in how you accept the word and you move in it and you don't get offended at it. You pick it up and you try to understand it and try to comprehend it and you go over it and over it and over it and you play the tape back again and back again, back again, you know, and you just keep banging away into your mind to finally get it down into your heart that it actually is real. See, He spent a lot of time talking to people about increase in every dimension. But one of those in particular was how to not be poor. Glory to God, you know? Glory to God. Father, glory. God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. You have come to break the spirit of poverty in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you, Father, that the gospel, the good news is preached to people. And Father, we just expect manifestation of it. We tear down every stronghold, every thought, every inroad by the devil to try to disturb things in Jesus' name. And we just loose the spirit of prosperity in each and every person. Father, that you have so much in store for them, that you desire to open up things to them and show them things that, wow, that are just so mighty. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are blessed with Abraham, that we stand in that blessing. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus took upon himself the curse so that we could live in the blessings of Abraham. And Father, we just receive it all. We just receive it in Jesus' name. Father, we just take off any limits, and we say, you said that all things are possible to those who believe. And we just praise you, Father, that yes, that all things are possible, and that we just begin to see how it is that you want to open up things for us. Lord, we just praise you that this is a day of great joy and great victory. We just come against that spirit of defeat in Jesus' name, that spirit of hopelessness, and we just command it to be gone. And Father, we just bring in the Spirit of God into this place, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we thank you, Lord. We just receive the Spirit of freedom into this place, into every person, into every heart. And we just bless you and praise you, Father, that you are, you just so desire that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Father, if there's anyone here that has an affliction, we just speak by the word of God, and we command that affliction to be gone in Jesus' name. We command infirmities, all kinds of growths to be gone in Jesus' name. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us into a great nation, that you've blessed us, that you've made our name great, and that we are a blessing. Lord, that you bless those that bless us, and whoever curses us, you curse. And all peoples on earth are blessed through us. So, Father, help us and show us how to be a blessing to everybody around us. Show us how to allow your spirit and everything you have to flow through us, Father, that we would get a vision of how you want us to move into the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for causing increase. Thank you, Lord, for causing promotions. Thank you, Lord, for causing open job opportunities. Thank you, Lord, for causing open careers in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for favor just flowing all around us, Lord, that you said you blessed Abraham with such favor. And so, Lord, we receive that since we're heirs of this. Father, we receive that as part of our inheritance, that the favor of God is upon us, Lord, that we have favor with you and with man. And we just praise you. We thank you. Let's just stand in the presence of the Lord and just bless his name. We bless you and worship you and give you honor and praise. Glory to God. You are so good and you are so majestic. We praise you and give you glory. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Father, help our hearts to just open up for you. And Lord, where it is that we're struggling with getting close to you, show us how to do that. Lord, you showed me a lot of things. When we asked you how to do these things, how to get through to the greater glory, how to get through to the greater blessings. And we thank you for it, Lord, that it is open to those that seek after you. And we praise you and we bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you so desire to be close to each one of us, that you just so desire to be our intimate friend. And Father, we just pray that right now, that there just be such a desire and a hunger in the heart of each person, Lord, that we just start putting aside all the stuff. And Lord, that we just really get close to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you will increase us, that you will accelerate us, that you will cause things to happen, Lord, for your glory. And we thank you for it, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and we honor you and give you glory. Thank you, Lord. You are so wonderful and so good. Hallelujah. We just bless you and we praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you bore everything upon the tree. We thank you that Jesus became a curse for us. Lord, that he took it all. And Lord, if there's anything in our life that's of the curse, reveal it and help us get that out of there. And we thank you for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you desire that we prosper. And we just praise you, Lord. Glory to God. You know, I just want you, there's hope. Okay. I don't know, you know, if you're digging a hole, trying to get out of a hole, you know, what's going on. But there's hope. It's not over. You know, it's not over until God blows the trumpet and calls everybody up. Then it's hope. You know, but right now we're here. He's still in business. And it doesn't matter how deep, how weird, you know. It doesn't even matter how atrocious it is. I mean, God is able to deliver you from the uttermost and turn things around and actually make you look brilliant. Because he's done it with me, and I stand amazed. Glory to God, you know. And so there's always hope. Never, ever back away. Just keep coming closer to him and just keep pulling into him and say, God, show me how to do this. Show me how to get this to work. And he will be your best friend and show you all kinds of things. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just bless each and every person with the blessing of Abraham upon their life. Lord, we receive it in its fullness. Lord, the word says that he was blessed in every way, in all things. So we just speak that into each person's life. And we thank you, Lord. We just receive that as heirs, Lord, of heirs of you and co-heirs with Christ. And we just receive that now, that the blessings of Abraham are upon our life. Father, we declare debt freedom. We declare money coming in like we've never experienced before. Father, we just declare financial freedom in every area. Just complete victory, Lord, that we can say that it's God that did this. He's the one that prospered us. And we thank you for it, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Amen.